Now you see what I just read? Read that Passover and the Tav. They're coming out of Egypt. It was to free Yahweh's people from sin and from sinners. But you and I are in charge of this antitypical Passover. That's going to do the same thing. Isaiah 11 that I'm reading from says 11:16, and it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and he that remaineth in Jerusalem, that's the capital city, that's where the rulers and the ministers and the priests and everybody lived, was in Jerusalem itself, that the laity lived out in the hills countries of Judea around about Jerusalem. They shall be called holy, it said. So it says, he that remaineth in Zion, and he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy, even everyone that is written among the living in Jerusalem, when the Yahweh shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of the Jerusalem from the midst thereof, by the spirit of the judgment, and by the spirit of the burning. And the Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, will create upon every dwelling place of the Mount Zion, and upon her assemblies, that's all those laity that assemblies around Mount Zion, a cloud and a smoke by the day. There it is right there. And the shining of a flaming fire by the night. For upon all the glory shall be a defense. There shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of the refuge, and for a covert from the storm and from the rain. Isaiah 4:3-6. For a more detailed exposition of the Exodus movement in the type and antitype, read the Shepherd Rod, Volume 1, page 64 to 111. All right, Shepherd Rod, Volume 1. Page 64 now we're going to, and the name of our subject is Who is Israel by the Promise? And so we got a lot to learn here. For this experience of the Israelites in the departing from Egypt was written for the instruction of those who should live in the last days, before the overflowing scourge shall come upon the dwellers of the earth. For the Yahshua calls upon all who are Israelites indeed to prepare for that event. Volume 6, page 195. For the 12 tribes of the Israel after the flesh are but a type of the Israel by the promise, 144,000. And there were Gentiles among Israel, the type. There would be Gentiles in Israel of the truth. For the early part of the Christian or the apostolic church, in the apostolic time with the 12 apostles and their converts, could not be called Israel, for the history of the church then was typified by Isaac, according unto Galatians 4:22-31, who, as explained on pages 53 and 54, for the Isaac was not called Israel, for he was the father of Jacob, that And it was Jacob who was called Israel. Well, that's because that was Jacob's name, his new name. He got it changed from Jacob as an overcomer. Therefore, Israel, whatever part of the church it is, must come sometime later in the history of the Seventh-day Adventist Church today. For the Jacob was the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. Okay, so Jacob's time then came in our day from 1970 to 2003 and on. And now we're in Jacob's time right now. So we've been in Jacob's time, his birth, 1970, and to 2025, we're in the active Jacob's time right now, meaning that the 144,000, 12 tribes, are the grandest event that we're looking for of all time to take place in our day, in the 12th parabolic hour, 2025 onward. And if Israel after the flesh is a type of Israel by the promise, the true, then let us study the beginning of the Israel after the flesh, if we are to locate or to know of the Israel by the promise, the 144,000. For the journey of the Israel down into Egypt could not have been an accident. Meaning Jacob went down into Egypt and he lived in the land of Goshen for 17 years until he died. For the journey of Israel, Jacob, down into Egypt could not have been an accident. Whatever the reason for it, Yahweh was in it. For the Joseph said unto his brother, Genesis 45:5, now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye show me hither. For the Yahweh did send me before you for the preserving of life. For the Joseph declares that the Yahweh was the cause for him going into Egypt. For the Yahweh had also told Abraham that he and his seed would sojourn and be afflicted in a strange land for 430 years. But why did Yahweh send them into Egypt? Why was Joseph sold at the age of 17, merely a lad, into the hands of the cruel Ishmaelites and led into a strange land to be resold as a slave? We certainly would not make a mistake by the thinking that Joseph became faint-hearted on the way. There surely must have been a reason for all this ill treatment. In the Egypt, Joseph was sold to serve as a slave, and later was thrown into the dungeon for a number of years. Why did Yahweh lead Israel into that strange land where idolatry prevailed everywhere? For the Yahweh certainly knew that in that land they would become slaves in just a short while. Why would heaven allow Yahweh's chosen people to become servants unto a nation whose idols were their gods? Why did Yahweh permit the lashes of the Egyptian taskmasters to be applied upon the backs of his people? Why would the divine love permit the children of Abraham, Yahweh's friend, while yet in the infancy, to be drowned in the river Nile? Who can say our great Yahweh was ignorant of all these things which took place or that he made a mistake, for the only answer that can be offered is that it is all a heavenly design. But what was it all about? Well, Yahweh must have had some special reason and specific purpose for an object lesson to be taught at a certain time. One may say, Yahweh did it all for the showing of his power. Really, would the all-wise and great Yahweh, full of the love and mercy, destroy his children to show his power? Not even an earthly mortal human father would dare destroy his children to show his power. Who would dare say human beings have greater love or better judgment than the great Yahweh, whose mercy is immeasurable, whose love fills the universe, whose wisdom is unsearchable, whose judgment is justice? Not only his chosen suffered of the bondage and cruelty, but the Egyptians as well. At the time of the Exodus movement, at the departure of Israel, the plagues came upon all Egypt, and the nation was nearly ruined. On the night of the Passover, there was death in every dwelling where there was no blood on the doorpost, and in every stall of the beast. And all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. From the firstborn of Pharaoh that sits upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the male, and all the firstborn as the beast, Exodus 11:5. For the Israel journeyed to the Red Sea, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the waters were divided. For the Israel went into the sea and walked across over dry ground. For the Egyptian pursued after them into the midst of the sea, and Moses stretched his hand over the sea, and the waters returned and covered the chariots, horsemen, and all the host of the Pharaoh which came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. Israel came into the wilderness where they wandered about for 40 years. Thousands of them perished because of the unbelief. At the end of the wilderness journey, the people crossed the Jordan during the time Israel was away from the Canaan, for the land was thickly inhabited by the heathen nation. Israel was compelled to destroy them by the sword in order to possess the land. Think of the loss of life, grief, and suffering, all because Yahweh took Israel into Egypt and brought them back again. But the Yahweh certainly would not destroy his subject just to show his power. In 1 Corinthians 10:11-12, speaking of the experience of the children of Israel, we read, "Now all these things happen unto them for ensample, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. If we are the people upon whom the end of the world is about to come, then there are ensamples are written for our admonition. For this is the reason why the Yahweh led the children of Israel into Egypt and back again." Let's say it again. "For this is the reason that Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, led the children of Israel into the Egypt and back again, think how great the cost for the working out of the pitcher. For the lesson to be derived from these great examples are far greater than we have ever realized. For the many thousands lost their lives to produce the picture with the intention that many more thousands would be saved than those who perished. Let us therefore carefully study into the lessons that were intended for our learning and admonition. For the Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. And behold, there came up out of the river seven well-favored kine and fat flesh, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, seven other kine came after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean flesh, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favored and lean-fleshed kine did eat up the seven well-favored and fat kine. So Pharaoh awoke, and it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all of the magicians of the Egypt, and all the wise men thereof, and Pharaoh told them his dream, and there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. And Pharaoh said unto the Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And Pharaoh told the dream unto Joseph, and Joseph said unto Pharaoh, Yahweh hath showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. For the seven good kind are 7 years, and the seven thin and ill-favored kind that came up after them are 7 years. Behold, there come up 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. And there shall arise after them 7 years of the famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of the famine following, for it shall be very grievous. And in the seven plenteous years the earth brought forth by the handfuls, and he had gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities, the food of the field which was round about every city laid he up in the same. And Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea very much, until he left numbering, for it was without number. Genesis 41:1-49. For we shall endeavor to bring enough evidence in the study to show that the Israel's experience in Egypt is a photograph of Israel the true, the 144,000. In the Seventh-day Adventist Church. While the Exodus movement was a great movement, the Second Advent movement will be still greater. Okay. For the Yahweh will take out a people, not from one nation only, but from every nation under the heaven, and he will lead them into the heavenly Canaan. For this Advent movement, of which the Exodus movement was a type, we believe was foretold in the prophecy in the following stirring language it shall come to pass, and that says that the Yahshua shall set his hand again the second time for the recovering of the remnant of his people, which shall be left. There shall be a highway for the remnant of his people, like as it was unto Egypt in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt. Review and Herald, October 10th, 1929, pages 4 and 5. For the Exodus movement is, in a way, a type or a photograph of the closing work of Yahweh under the Advent movement. Well, this is not an accurate statement at all, but that's all they had to go with at the time. Ellen G. White made these statements in B.T. Hollow. Each movement rises in the fulfillment of time prophecy. Now, each movement. Well, I was given the keys to the kingdom to start the fifth movement of Matthew 20, verse 6, at the end of the 11th parabolic hour. And in Kermit, Texas, 2002, I was given to the keys to the kingdom to bring the fulfillment of this time prophecy. Certainties of the Advent movement by W.A. Spicer, the fact that the Israel after the flesh is a type or a photograph for their experience must be duplicated by the true, otherwise there can be no type. A year of the plenty and famine. This is our next subtitle. For the Yahweh permitted the plenty as well as the famine. Each one bears the number 7, meaning perfect or complete. These two sections of the time can only mean one thing, which is none other than this world in history. And the two great divisions, namely B.C. and A.D., with the cross as the dividing line, for the 7 years of the plenty represent the Old Testament period, in which time Yahweh gave plenty, for by his holy prophets he stored it in the great storehouse, what we today call the Bible. In Matthew 11:13, we read, "For all the prophets and the law prophesied unto John." It is for this reason that Yahshua made the above statement, for we have no other thus far. In the 7 years of the plenty, B.C., Yahweh stored his word in the Bible to feed the world, Egypt. And the next 7 years of the famine, A.D., Yahweh, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, Hebrews 1:1-2. For the New Testament is the fulfillment of the Old. I might go back and read that last part I just read. Whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he as the as a co-creator with the Father Yahweh, Hebrews 1:1-2, for the New Testament is a fulfillment of the Old. Joseph, type of the Yahshua, is our next subtitle, for the Joseph typified the Yahshua. See Patriarchs and Prophets 239, 240. For our Yahweh in the Old Testament time, 7 years of the penny, spoke unto his people in divers manners by his prophet, and commanded these things to be written with the intention to speak unto his people in these last days. New Testament time are 7 years of the famine. And to each one of us individually by the voice of his word as found stored in the Bible, thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, See, I have set thee all over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon the Joseph's hand and arrayed him in the vestments of the fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, Bow the knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. Genesis 41:40-44. No greater favor or honor did the Pharaoh have shown unto Joseph, and all the Egyptians bowed down unto him. As we proceed in this study, we shall prove beyond a doubt that Joseph is a perfect type of the Yahshua, Pharaoh type of. If the Joseph typified Yahshua and Pharaoh honored Joseph above any man ever honored by any king, and Joseph and Pharaoh worked hand in hand, then Pharaoh must stand for some figure or type, for it would not be hard to determine what Pharaoh represents, that which honors Yahshua above everything that can be honored upon the earth is what Pharaoh represents. For the Church of the Apostles honored Yahshua above everything that can be honored, so much so that all sacrifice to the Lord, no greater homage has Yahshua received upon the earth by any other part in the history of his Church. By this we understand that the Pharaoh represents the Apostles, Church, our organization, for the application made here will prove correct as we advance in this study. Further explanation upon this subject is given on the last page of this section. For the dividing line between the 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine is the cross. All the prophets and the law prophesied until John, Matthew 11:13. Whereas the 7 years of the plenty end, for the 7 years of famine began. For the first year of the famine is for the beginning of the Church of the Yahshua at the time of the apostles. One may ask, why a famine in the beginning of the apostolic church? Did they not get sufficient corn, truth? Yes, but they got it from the great storehouse, the Bible, in the same way as the Egyptians received their corn in the years of the famine, from the immense storehouse at the hand of the Joseph. See pages 15-18. For the Egyptians, type of the Gentiles, for the 7 years of the famine began when the Egyptians came unto Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh told all the Egyptians, Go unto Joseph, what he saith unto you, do. And Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians, Genesis 41:55-56. And as Joseph gathered up all the money that was found in the land of Egypt, that was in the Gentile world, okay now, and in the land of Canaan, for the corn which they bought, and Joseph brought the money into Pharaoh's house, and when the money failed in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan, all the Egyptians came unto Joseph and said, "Give us bread, for why should we die in thy presence? For the money faileth." And they brought their cattle, okay, and unto Joseph. And Joseph gave them bread in exchange for horses and for the flocks and for the cattle of the herd and for the asses, and he fed them with the bread for all their cattle for that year. When that year was ended, they came unto him the second year and said unto him, "We will not hide it from thy sure how that we will not hide this from my Lord, how that our money is spent. For my Lord also hath our herds of cattle. There is not aught left in the sight of my Lord, but our bodies and our land. Wherefore shall we die before thine eyes, both we and our land? Buy us and our land for bread, and we and our land will be servants unto the Pharaoh." And Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for the Pharaoh. For the Egyptians sold every man his field. And they said, "Thou hast saved our lives, let us find grace in the sight of my Lord, and we will be Pharaoh's servants." Genesis 47:14-25. In the beginning of the famine, the Egyptians went to Pharaoh for corn instead of unto Joseph. They were well acquainted with Joseph, for he had been a governor of Egypt for 8 years or more. Joseph rode over all the land of Egypt, and every Egyptian bowed down unto him. During the years of the plenty, it was Joseph who brought the corn from the Egyptians, and it seemed strange that they should go to Pharaoh. It must have been by the divine providence that they came unto him, for it has been explained that the Pharaoh represented the church, organization, or leadership. For the Egyptians cannot represent anything else but the Gentiles in the days of the apostles. For the Gentiles came unto the church Pharaoh, where they were told to go unto Joseph, Yahshua, in parentheses, "What he saith unto you, do." That is, the church in her purity, without one strange thing in their midst, directed the Gentiles to Yahshua as their life giver, as the Pharaoh directed the Egyptians under Joseph. Okay, our next subtitle, Egyptians sold themselves unto Pharaoh. And Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh. For the Egyptians sold every man his field, because a famine prevailed over them. So the land became Pharaoh's, Genesis 47:20. In the preceding verses of the chapter, we read that the Egyptians spent all of their money for the corn. And when the money was gone, they gave their cattle in exchange. And when the cattle were gone, they gave the land, their land. And when the land was gone, they sold themselves and became servants unto Pharaoh. This is the type. But of the fulfillment of the type, of this type, we read in the following text. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that all of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common, and with a great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Yeshua, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of the lands or houses sold them and brought the price of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, a Levite, having land, sold it, and brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet, Acts 4:32-37. Thus Jew and Gentile sold all houses and land, and brought the prices, and laid them at the apostles' feet, and became servants unto the church Pharaoh. Again we read Acts 5:1-10. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy unto it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie unto the Holy Spirit, and to keep back part of the price of the land? And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the Spirit. Thus any who pretended to sell and held back part of the price received in the days of the apostles died just as those who would not sell all unto Pharaoh in Egypt. For Yahshua said, sell all and follow me. Therefore type met antitype. For the Joseph removes people throughout Egypt. And Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh. And as for the people, he removed them into the cities from the one end of the borders of Egypt even unto the other end. Genesis 47, part of the verses 20-21. This is the type following is a fulfillment of the type, Acts 8:1. And Saul was consenting unto Stephen's death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. It will be noted that the apostles were at home, Jerusalem, and there is no record where the apostles sold their land. Now we quote the type of the letter, Genesis 47:22. Only the land of the priest bought he not, for the priest had a portion assigned them of Pharaoh, and did eat their portion which the Pharaoh gave them, wherefore they sold not their land. It is remarkable to note how this coincides unto the smallest detail. 70 souls, type of the organization, for the Israel arrived in Egypt in the second year of the famine. I mean, Jacob, his name is Israel, and he goes down with his 11 sons and all of his servants and cattle, and he goes down to Egypt in the second year of the famine. That's in Genesis 45, 10, and 11. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flocks and thy herds, and all that thou hast, and there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years famine. Lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. For the arrival of Israel in Egypt stand for some symbol in which there must be a lesson. Note that this lesson cannot be for the early part of the apostolic church, for Israel came in the second year of the famine. For the lesson then intended here is for a later period in the history of the church, if we are to know the truth of the incident, and a lesson intended to be derived from it, reference must here be made to the number of the souls which entered into Egypt, and the sons of Joseph which were born him in Egypt were 2 souls, all the souls of the house of Jacob which came into Egypt were 70. There's a 70 right there. Genesis 46:27. For the Bible says all the souls who came into Egypt were 70 in number. For if we can in some way find the meaning of the number, then we shall understand the lesson. When the Moses with the children of Israel came unto Sinai, he organized the church there, and in organizing, selected 70 elders. This same organization years later crossed the Jordan and went into the Promised Land. There they had the Sanhedrin, which was composed of the 70 men. Thus the number 70 is a symbol of the church organization. Well, the meaning then is that there will be a church organization sometime in the history of A.D., if this is true, then that church which Yeshua with the apostles organized must disband and of necessity be reorganized. For this is true for the apostolic congregation, the church, by the 12 apostles was disorganized in the Dark Ages during the time of the beginning of the papal rule. When again organized, it was partially fulfilled Joel 2:32, and in the remnant whom the Yeshua shall call. For the 2300 days or years of the Daniel's prophecy in the 8th chapter gives us the entire truth of the Adventist church history, of the Israel's church history, unto 1844, until which time there was no call for a reorganization. If there had been, or if this call for a reorganization had met its fulfillment before 1844, then Daniel's prophecy would have made mention of it, and the prophecy is silent. And there has no prophet of Yahweh risen since the church fell into the papal power about A.D. Then the truth of the symbol was yet in the future. As the prophetic period ended in 1844, the most holy place in the heavenly sanctuary was opened, and through which Yahshua entered. If this incident marked the beginning of the atonement, there would have been no better or more opportune time for a call from the heaven than at the end of the great geographic period, or of the great prophetic period, the Day of the Atonement, being the most solemn time for the church. Seventh-day Adventists were called out by a prophet that are practically as the only people who believe in the 2300 days. For we are the only people who have proclaimed it since 1844 and are now in the atonement. Well, that's wrong. The atonement is only a 24-hour period. And the Adventists, the best that they could reckon in 1844, fell on the 22nd day of October, 1844, and they published that. Okay? For the time of the judgment, this text for this is here, are quoted. Now I saw another angel flying in the midst of the heaven, having the everlasting gospel for the preaching unto them that dwell on the earth, and for and unto every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear the Yahweh and give glory unto him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made the heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of the water. Revelation 14:6-7. For the Seventh-day Adventist only can fulfill the type. For just at this time, they were called by a prophet of Yahweh to organize as a denomination and to proclaim the glad news. For this gospel and all the world in this generation, thus the symbol 70 made its fulfillment at the time. Still another thought on the experience of the Israel. Okay. When the Joseph's brethren came into Egypt, they went directly unto him for the corn. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. Genesis 42:6. For the sons of Jacob were strangers in the land, and knew not that their brother, who was a governor, they providentially came not under Pharaoh, as the Egyptians did, for the coin, but directly unto the right person, Joseph. And in contrast to this, these Egyptians, who should have known better, been acquainted with the rule of their country, went unto Pharaoh for corn. But the king told him to go unto Joseph, what he says, and you do, for the Egyptians must have known Joseph being their governor for more than 8 years by that time, and the 7 years of the plenty, it was Joseph unto whom they sold the food which he preserved for the time of famine. Joseph rode in the Pharaoh's chariot over all of the land of Egypt, and all the Egyptians bowed down unto him. Thus it would have been impossible for them to be ignorant of him. This being a symbol, it can only find its fulfillment in the following narrative. For the Egyptian Gentiles went under federal leadership of the apostolic church for Corinth. For the apostles directed the Gentiles converts to Yahshua as the Pharaoh directed the Egyptian to Joseph, saying, go to Joseph, what he saith then to you, do. If this is the meaning we get from the Egyptians going unto Pharaoh, then the significance of the sons of Jacob going directly unto Joseph means that when that church is reorganized, the people would have to go directly unto Yahshua Joseph. For the lesson intended is that in the beginning of the church in 1845 of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, which had no true leadership, Pharaoh, to go to, they of the necessity went directly unto Yahshua as the sons of Jacob came to Joseph. Jacob, type of James. For the Seventh-day Adventist Church, which came into the existence in 1845, became Israel, the movement from which the true Israel, the 144,000, are made. It will be noticed that the name of the fathers after the flesh and by the promise coincide, for the father's name of Israel after the flesh was Jacob. So is the name of the father of Israel by the promise, Seventh-day Adventist movement. But one may say it was Jacob in the former and James White in the latter. True it is, but the name Jacob and James are the same. Again, the very first vision Sister White had was about the 144,000, and the aim of this denomination has been to make that number. Okay. We're going on. The next subtitle is The Land of Goshen. For the beginning of this denomination was typified by the Israel's entrance into the Egypt, as previously explained. We shall now consider the truth of the land of Goshen. For the Joseph brought Israel into the Egypt and gave them the part of the land to dwell in, which was the best land in the country of Egypt. And there Joseph nourished them, their flocks, herds, and in and cattle, and all that they had. See Genesis 45:10. For the land of Goshen stand as a symbol of the United States of America, in which the church came into the existence, while our country is productive, like the land of Goshen, the richest in the world and a prosperous nation. It is the best for the missionary work, for it is made up of all the nations, and therefore, like the land of Goshen, the most productive in Egypt, the world. Joseph nourished Israel. In the beginning of the 7 years of the famine, the Egyptians sold all and became servants unto Pharaoh, which has reference unto the apostles. Yahshua and of the Gentiles then who sold their houses and lands and had all things in common, as previously explained. But Israel did not sell any of their possessions, nor did they pay for the food with which Joseph nourished them. Israel, then, represents the church now. From the beginning of the church in 1845, the Seventh Day Adventist, Yahshua Joseph opened the storehouse and gave us all the truth corn we could possibly assimilate. Is it not a fact that no other people at any time in the history of the church have received as much truth as Yahweh has given us in our time, line upon line, precept upon precept, instruction upon instruction, have been given us so that we as a people may know and understand the ways of the Yahweh, obey His voice, keep His charge, commandments, statutes, and laws, thus becoming the children of Abraham, and heirs according unto the promise. When this is realized in the hearts of the men, then they will fulfill the charge given unto Peter. Peter said, Thou knowest I love thee. Yahshua saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Shepherds, our next subtitle. And Pharaoh said unto his brethren Joseph, What is your occupation? And they said unto Pharaoh, Thy servants are the shepherds, both we and also our fathers. Genesis 47:3. Israel were shepherds, which is a symbol of missions, such as feed the lambs of the Yahweh. In the early part of the church, the byword was every Seventh-day Adventist a missionary, and every missionary a preacher. It ought to be so now, for the great struggle has not been between religion and no religion. It is between Yahweh's religion and man's religion. Review and Herald, January 23, 1930. Another Pharaoh arose, is our next subtitle. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph, Exodus 1:8. But the first Pharaoh who exalted Joseph, Yahshua, represented the leadership in the days of the apostles. Then this new Pharaoh must represent the leadership of this present movement at the time this subject became known. Note this new Pharaoh knew not Joseph, Yahshua, for the meaning is that the leadership of the Seventh-day Adventist organization has left following the Master, Yahshua, Volume 5, page 217, grievous and presumptuous sin have dwelt among us, and yet the general opinion is that the church is flourishing and that peace and spiritual prosperity are in all her borders. The church has turned back from following Yahshua, her leader, and is steadily retreating toward Egypt. Yet few are alarmed or astonished at the want of the spiritual power, doubt, and even disbelief of the testimony of the Spirit of Yahweh is leveling our churches everywhere. Satan would have it thus. their testimonies are unread and unappreciated. Further explanation of the Pharaoh's being taught is given on the last page of this section. This brings in the rest of this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song.